Welcome to the online ministry of Pacific Beach United Methodist Church, located in beautiful San Diego, California. Pacific Beach UMC is a member of the Reconciling Ministries Network and welcomes persons of all ages and backgrounds for worship, study, and service opportunities. More information can be found on our website at pbumc.org. May you be enriched in the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
I'm not sure how many of you are familiar with this phenomenon. And to be honest, I wasn't really even familiar with it before I started preaching in front of congregations. But there are times where preachers will come to a text and we'll have this idea in our head. Okay, this is what I want to talk about. And then as you start doing studying and you come up with pieces and the Spirit brings things to the surface, at some point you may recognize as a preacher, this stuff doesn't go together. And you have to throw out your initial outline and you have to come up with something new because the Spirit does it. And so that's what I find myself with this week. I had intended on going in one direction and I'm going in a completely different direction. So this morning, for those of you here and for those on the live stream, I'm going to begin with a custom that I don't typically do, but I'm choosing to engage this morning. So will you please bow your heads and join me in a quick prayer of illumination. God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Amen. So I can only really speak for myself, but this season of Lent, this Easter season, to me has been filled with tensions. As we journeyed in this season through Jesus Christ Superstar, each piece was really a very close look at a different milestone through Holy Week. We experienced the high of Palm Sunday, Easter, Resurrection Morning, as well as the depth of grief from the Passion from Good Friday. If you're like me and you haven't quite seen Avengers Endgame yet, there may also be some tension as to whether you will find spoilers on social media or the internet. And not least of all, at least this Sunday, there is tension from General Conference and from last week's Judicial Council ruling. So this morning, as we think about this story of Doubting Thomas, I invite you to consider that we should not fear or shy away from this tension. Rather, that we should lean into it. As we turn to our scripture text this morning, we can see that there are several tensions that are present. Some may not be explicitly stated, but they are in the background nonetheless. First of all, we have an empty tomb in this text. As readers, separated from the story by 2,000 years, we know that Jesus was raised. We also know the tomb was empty. But this is not something that all of the disciples knew empirically. In fact, there was still some lingering questions in the weeks that followed Easter morning. Some had seen the empty tomb themselves. Others had been told by angels or messengers. But alongside this rumor of the tomb being empty, of Jesus being resurrected, Matthew 28 records an alternative rumor. Matthew tells us that the elders and the chief priests paid off the soldiers to simply say that Jesus' disciples had stolen the body in the dead of night. It's also possible that the disciples heard this particular rumor either before or alongside the other rumor, we have seen the Lord. In addition to the empty tomb, there were multiple and conflicting stories of sightings. If you try to line up the accounts that we find in the Gospels, you'll discover there is no straightforward way to reconcile all of the post-crucifixion appearances of Jesus. Some people saw him on the Emmaus Road. Others met him and shared a meal with him. And even in our scripture today, John 20, we see four separate vignettes that don't really fit together. And scholars can point out how John kind of weaves them together in a sort of documentary sort of fashion. But beyond all this, they contributed to this tension between certainty and doubt. As I mentioned, one of the sayings that appears both in the Gospels and in the Epistles was, "We have seen the Lord." But against such compelling testimony, there still lingered a shadow of doubt. In Luke chapter 24, we also read that the disciples were, quote, "doubting, having doubts arising in their hearts." The remarkable piece of these accounts is not that the disciples experienced doubt in the first place, rather that the gospel writers included these doubts suggest that there was a significant amount of anxiety carried by those early Christians, especially as those who had themselves encountered the resurrected Jesus began to pass away. I'll ask our liturgist to read our passage for this morning from John chapter 20.
Jesus appears to the disciples. It was still the first day of the week. That evening, while the disciples were behind closed doors because they were afraid of the Jewish authorities, Jesus came and stood among them. He said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. When the disciples saw the Lord, they were filled with joy. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father sent me, so I am sending you." Then he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. If you don't forgive them, they aren't forgiven." Thomas, the one called Didymus, one of the 12, wasn't with the disciples when Jesus came. The other disciples told him, "We've seen the Lord." But he replied, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, put my finger in the wounds left by the nails, and put my hand into his side, I won't believe." After 8 days, his disciples were again in a house, and Thomas was with them. Even though the doors were locked, Jesus entered and stood among them. He said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. Look at my hands. Put your hand into my side. No more disbelief. Believe." Thomas responded to Jesus, "My Lord and my God." Jesus replied, "Do you believe because you see me? Happy are those who don't see and yet believe." Then Jesus did many other miraculous signs in his disciples' presence, signs that aren't recorded in this scroll. But these things are written so that you will believe that Jesus is the Christ, God's Son, and that believing, you will have life in his name.
Full disclosure, I don't think I would have had a response any different from Thomas. I don't think that I myself would not have doubted. I think back to my own childhood, where every other week, in the grocery aisle, I saw another tabloid that said, "Elvis sighted." Today, for any committed Christian, it may be very easy to say, "Well, of course Jesus rose from the dead." But for Thomas, these were still unfolding events. For me, I think it's unfortunate that Thomas gets the blame here. And in my studying, I discovered that Thomas was probably just a scapegoat. John was the last of the three Gospels that was written. And most probably, Thomas was named just to kind of combat this Gnostic text that was floating around that church leaders were trying to squash, called the Gospel of Thomas. In fact, Thomas has no lines in any of the Gospels except for John. But across all of these gospel accounts, there is still some underlying question of believability. Internal continuity problems just abound in post-resurrection stories. In some places, Jesus says, "I've not yet ascended, don't touch me." In others, he just poof, materializes into rooms. But yet he can eat. He invites people to touch his scars. In some places, he appears to have a physical form. In others, he doesn't. I would like to submit that tension, having both and, is not unique to our modern lives, nor to ancient ones. Even so, I think that we must deal with the resurrection, whether that be through doubt or belief. Because of how challenging it can be to articulate this, I'd like to read for you some words by John Shelby Spong in his book, The Fourth Gospel, Tales of a Jewish Mystic. And Bishop Spong writes this. In the Gospel of John, John clarifies to the Thomases in the Joannine community and their descendants throughout history the correct understanding of the resurrection. First, Jesus asks Thomas this question, "Have you believed because you've seen me?" Then he adds the words for which this story was created, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe." Blessed are those who are called into the Christ experience through the witness of others. Blessed are those who experience an expanded humanity that comes through those who were themselves examples of that new human consciousness. The disciples of Jesus will be recognized by the love they have to give and the freedom they achieve. Freedom that will enable them to give their lives away in love to others. The life and love we encounter in one another and in the human Jesus is the life and love on display in the crucified one. His image bears the scars of the life he lived, the freedom he experienced, the fact that his glorification came not in triumph, but in death. Not in resurrected power, but in his ability always to give life and love, even as his own life was ripped from him. That is John's Christ. That is what Thomas eventually sees. The cross is the final sign in this gospel that points beyond itself to its ultimate meaning. Thomas finally reads the sign properly. The crucified one is the presence of God among us. He is the God who is the source of life, and his call to us is to live fully. Friends, you may recognize that this presence of God is a phrase that sounds a lot like Emmanuel, God with us. This language is incarnational. It brings us back to the very first chapter of John. John used the Greek word logos, which in classical Greek philosophy and early church fathers is thought of as being reason or rationale that comes from God. What you may not know is that where logos is used in the Greek, it is translated into Aramaic as memra. Daniel Boyerin in the Jewish Annotated New Testament demonstrates that the Aramaic word memra is a deeply Jewish concept, one that gives the notion of a divine figure linking heaven and earth. Thus, the Jewish author of John may not be speaking about Greek ideas of reason and logic, but more about a divine mediator between God and humanity. In the beginning was the Word, the Logos, the Memra, the emissary, this emissary, this memra. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. My friends, the resurrection is a demonstration of the radical presence of God, that in the midst of discomfort, warring opinions, cognitive dissonance, that Jesus shows up, that person sitting next to you, in the bus, in line at the grocery store, waiting for you at the library, next to you in the pew on Sunday morning, that person encouraging and inspiring you to be a better human, that is the resurrected Jesus. Jesus is somehow both disembodied and really, physically present with us. Somehow, in some way, God shows up. And when we experience that, our doubts give way to an understanding of God that we cannot explain. Amen. Please join me in an attitude of prayer. Almighty, all-loving, all-knowing God, this morning as we sit in the midst of our faith, our belief, our doubts, our questions, we lean into this tension that couldn't be escaped by the disciples, nor even those who name the name of Christ 2,000 years from then. God, our hearts are heavy for our Jewish siblings at Congregation Chabad. Our love and our prayers go with them. We ask for your healing presence to be with the survivors, the surrounding community, for guidance and presence with the San Diego County Police Department, Sheriff's Department, as they watch for them. God, we ask that in the midst of these tragedies, that your Spirit would move in and through us, that we would recognize it is not enough to send thoughts and prayers, but that your Spirit would move us to action, to reduce gun violence, prejudice, and any form of expression that is not love born out of you. We know that even amongst these prayers that are raised by the congregation, there are likely ones that are not spoken. But we know that your Spirit intercedes for us with thoughts and sighs and words and groanings that we ourselves cannot articulate. And so together we lift our voices as we pray the words taught to us by your Son, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.